sucking my pooies. I'm playing the Simpsons game.
That's not right.
You playing a game?
Can you shot your plague-wine?
My plague-wine eats sanguines.
Plague-wine?
Your plague-wips.
How about you stick it up your own fucking asses? What is this?
100%? Wait, Dan, is this more than a shot?
Dan can't control himself with his phone.
I'm putting it away.
50 milliliters.
It's over here.
30?
Right, unos, dos, tres.
Hold on, let me open this.
Is that two shots?
Enjoy that, fellas.
You're not doing
three
one?
Or five?
No.
Oh, you're driving. Okay, so this
five.
This here is...
oh, God.
This one's for Doug. We love you, Doug.
Dougie.
A cheers, Abaisa.
Cheers.
A cheers, Abaisa.
Liquor,
Oh, Doug, that's your fault.
As our old friend Doug LaPointe would say, beer before liquor makes you stronger and quicker.
That's what it was. I just feel slower terrible. And sick.
I feel slower and sicker.
Slower and sick.
Slower and sicker.
Chug, why don't you, Chug.
Chug. Chug. Chad Doug hybrid.
Hey, Chug. Chug. What up, Chug?
Chug, Chug.
Chad, why don't you recreate your, the experience you just went through?
That was the most painful thing in the world.
Quite awesome.
Have so, what was it white? Like a rollout?
It's a threaded bar. Single weight.
Okay, yeah.
So you thread the weights onto the bar.
Yes.
And yeah, smart Alec tried to do a,
one of those ab rolls.
A rolling push-up.
Ab roll.
an ab roll, and the thing...
Let's just say...
And he rolled his own hand into the threading.
he screwed it in.
He screwed his own hand onto the bar.
How's it feel?
It actually doesn't look as bad as it was right now.
No, that's good.
I literally thought I was going to have to... I was missed a piece of my hand. It's going to be gone. Well, say goodbye to that piece.
It's back.
Goodbye, hand.
Just like 127 hours. Yeah. You're going to have to cut it off.
It's like 28 days later, right?
You had 127 seconds.
And 128 days later.
It probably was close to 127 seconds.
Yeah, I had
worst,
time to be
worst
like,
120 seconds of your life.
Did you think about cutting it off? And then
it was shock at first. And then it was like, this doesn't really hurt. I'm surprised this doesn't hurt, because this should really fucking hurt.
Well, it's...
And then after about 40 seconds when I was still locked in it.
After the air got
ow,
to it.
Ow,
did you remember what your unborn son might look like? And then you were like, I gotta get out of this.
Yeah, yeah, I had visions of water flowing in and getting me out.
That was the most disgusting shot I've ever done. What kind of alcohol is Jim Beam?
Some whiskey? Bourbon?
It's the new Jim Beam.
Kentucky bourbon. Straight bourbon whiskey.
Devil's Cut.
Bourbon. I don't like it. How do people drink that?
They be knowing how to do that in the South. I'm gonna drink that bourbon and eat my chicken. You know what I'm saying?
I like beer.
Yeah. No, they don't catch the new fit.
Yeah, beer.
Beer. That was the story of mine in Florida. We, my brother and I went fishing.
Yeah.
And they call grouper Jewfish. I don't know why. I thought.
Y'all want to get them Jewfish, huh?
We rode our bikes. We went to the end. We're like,
you sound like one of those guys with the like lung cancer that have the thing on their neck.
I lit my neck. He's coming right for us.
Oh, it makes me gag.
Anyway, go on.
He just said, I was like, oh, what are you usually catching here? He's like,
well, about two time last week, caught a 200-pound Jewfish back here.
200-pound Jewfish.
200 pounds. And no lie, I watched River Monsters afterwards.
Yeah.
The fucking guy catches grouper. They are bigger than Dan. Wow. Bigger than Dan. Just like a solid... like,
hey, it's horrifying. What do you call racism against Jews? It's not racism, because they're not... Are they considered a race? Jewish? Is a race?
Well, yeah. I don't know.
I thought it was a religion.
It's a religion.
Yeah, so it's...
Isn't if you're a bigot, isn't that like you hate other religions?
Well, I mean, okay, well, what is it called, though? What is prejudice against Jews called?
Bigotry?
Bigotry?
Maybe.
Okay, thanks, TJ.
I'm not sure if that's correct.
I wasn't trying to make a joke. I was asking
someone
a serious question.
Smart on the podcast, Ron.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's called, like...
I don't know.
I'm going to tread...
Yeah, it would have been a racist comment.
Let's get out of this.
Bigotry. Thanks, TJ.
Is that what
Hi, so welcome to the show. This is the All Range Mode Podcast, Season 2, Episode 11. We're on location at in TJ's basement.
Here,
my name is Joe. To my right, I have Chad.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. To Chad's right, we have TJ.
Hello, hello.
And to TJ's right, we have Dan.
That's me.
And back to Joe. So
I still had whiskey left.
So Doug's not here today. He had to work late, and we are on location over the border in the United States.
Oh, Merca.
Who'd have believed it?
America.
Who'd have believed it?
And so Doug will be missed, and this could possibly be the finale. If it's an entertaining episode, then we'll call it the finale. If not, then...
Season?
I'll put it this way.
Season, if we don't finale.
If not, then it won't make air.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it could just be mindless racist.
No,
it's racist.
It'll make air.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That'd be good.
The problem is that we've been hanging out for a couple of hours, and we've already brought our concerns to the foreground, I suppose.
We talked a lot.
We talked about...
I prepared, a small little bit, and I've already run through it all, so...
Oh, really?
I figure I'll give, the 5-minute, just my, recommendation.
Let me guess. It's Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, he's going to do it for me.
Oh, don't do this.
Am I correct there?
Tomb Raider's really good, too.
Also, that... We didn't have to even ask. You came up with that, or you came front with that.
Mm-hmm.
Came forward. Wow.
Actually, there's one thing I didn't talk about yet. But you guys talked about on the podcast already.
What was it?
Bit Trip.
Oh.
Yeah, did you play it?
Well, yeah. I do want your opinion on it. Played it.
I feel a little disappointed in it. And I think it's not Bit Trip's fault. I think it's because we played at your house before. And there was I've been thinking about this a lot because it meant something to lose, right? Right now I'm just playing over and over again. And I beat the levels pretty quickly. Before it was like, damn it, now I got to pass the controller.
Oh, right.
And that feel of
sip and pass it.
That loss. Yeah. Damn it.
I'm not sure if the game is also maybe too easy or if it's just it seemed harder because I was playing it a third less because I was passing it to two other people, you know what I mean?
I think it's easier because Joe even
It's way more forgiving. It's way more forgiving, yeah.
Yeah, the checkpoints.
Well, they have checkpoints, too.
But not even that. The levels themselves, they're not as... they're scaled down.
Mm. See, I haven't got to the end yet, so I was hoping by the end it's going to be the end of Bit Trip 1. But, I don't know. No,
it's moving.
I'm still going to play it through.
Oh, it is.
Sorry. Dan's...
Hello?
Does it look like that's moving?
Yes. Of course it's moving.
Shut your mouth.
We're 2 minutes in.
My skin is back to normal.
Well, good.
Chad is Wolverine. Do it again?
He's already healed.
Wolverine. Let's do it again, boys. I knew I could do it.
So, awesome. Bit Trip Runner Talk.
So that's my 5 minutes. Yeah. I don't think I have anything else left to say on that. I do they introduce a lot of different new moves, which is kind of cool and unexpected. Yeah, you can duck and jump at the same time.
Yeah.
And
I'm pretty sure you can do a duck kick as well.
Yep, you can.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a specific duck kick.
It's fun knowing, Like, you don't even try and try to play it. I don't even know what I'm saying.
What Chad is trying to say is he wishes he had that sense of, fuck yes, I finally got it. That's what I miss, actually, from the game.
You gave up mid-sentence. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Sorry, there's no
You try to play it, that's where you stop. You were just a dead stop there.
Chad, I know exactly what you mean.
I don't even know what I'm saying.
Try and play it.
No, okay, let me see it. Let me say something.
Go ahead.
There's a feeling you get when you play it perfectly.
Right.
And you play a really complicated level and you're doing shit that you don't even realize that you're doing, but you're doing it correctly. And it's like, oh my God, wow, this is a lot of fun.
I've only gotten a bit of that so far though. But again, I'm not at the end yet. I'm
close to the end. You're kind of in a euphoric state where it's you and the game are one. And
your muscles take over. Yeah, and your brain turns on.
You're hearing the music and you don't even realize the music you're hearing, you are playing.
That's special. That's pretty fucking special.
You're playing the song, but you feel like you're just hearing it. It's just so second nature.
Yeah, that feeling of after you complete a sequence and you're like, how did I make that through? Please don't fuck up. I can't do that again. It's just a great feeling.
Yeah.
I've got that a few times so far. But
I'm missing out. I haven't played this game.
You know what? The art direction, I fucking hated it right from the beginning. I saw the splash screen of this 3D animated twisted body and I was like, I hate this.
Yeah.
And then I'm getting more used to it. I kind of like it. It's not probably as great as the first one, but I understand that they couldn't just do that 8-bit thing over again. Yeah. So
I don't know. I mean,
it's an 8-bit world.
The nostalgia of the first one was one of the driving factors. Was one of my I don't know, best interests in the game was how it was so retro, right?
But I think if Runner 2 was the first game to come out, we'd probably say that this is the best fucking game
ever. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if that's true.
Graphics aside.
Well, it's every single Mario game had a new fundamental difference to it. And it was more of an evolution where this is kind of a sequel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's it wasn't, it it didn't do, it, it did the same things well, but that's all it did, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, like, I feel like the first one is way up there, and I have a lot of games that are just, like, I played and they were good. I would put Bit Trip 2 with those, you know, they're good games, but I wouldn't put them as, like, with Bit Trip 1. Like, if Bit Trip 2 came out as the first game, it wouldn't be up there for me.
But at the same time, I have the exact opposite feeling for Portal 2 against Portal 1.
Oh, absolutely.
1. I think Portal 2 is
better,
leaps and bounds better than Portal 1.
Then again, I would
put... And it's almost for the same reasons. Like, it's an evolution of the same core gameplay, but mm-hmm. I don't know. Portal 2 is kind of different, I guess, because it added all that dialogue.
Yeah, there was no story in the first one. Well, there was, but there wasn't.
It was just hand-holding getting you through the levels, and then there was a bit of color at the end. But, like, Portal 2, yeah, it was... I've never played a game that was written that well.
Come on.
Dialogue? Okay, I'm not talking about story. I'm talking about dialogue.
Yeah,
it was so awesome.
There's better dialogue.
No, it felt like I was watching a great comedic television show or something like that. Like, I felt like it was like TV or movie quality.
Play Assassin's Creed or something. Like, you want to talk about dialogue?
Ugh.
No, he's talking about, like, witty and, like, just...
Okay. Good writing.
Yeah.
Witty, good writing. I'll come back to it, but I know there's better games than fucking Portal 2.
It was really, really good. It was surprisingly good. Just...
I don't know, man.
Actually, I played a...
Jack, we gotta get back on the ship, or else it's gonna go crazy. That's most games.
That's a Sega game.
That's most games.
Let's move now.
So, TJ, you've, I don't want to say you've let me down, but, where's Andrew? What's going on with Andrew?
I knew this was going to come up.
What's going on, man?
I've let myself down. I won't say I've lost motivation, like, it's something I still want to do, but, yeah.
Why Andrew?
Why Andrew?
Do you know what Andrew means to me?
Yeah, that's why it's called Andrew.
Because of retards?
Yeah. The premise of the game is he's a retard.
Oh. I have no idea.
I have my own spin on the story, and that's that he he's in a wheelchair throughout the game, and if you collect enough what I called memory orbs, the goal throughout the game was to get from beginning to ending of the level, obviously without dying.
Yeah.
But there's orbs on the way, memory orbs. And you have to, like, buy upgrades to collect different orbs and stuff like that. And, like, if you get enough memory orbs, you remember that, like, you can walk, and then you walk at the end of the game. Like, you're able to get up out of the chair at the end of the game. If you don't collect enough memory orbs, then you get the bad ending, which is you die.
Now,
bleak.
Or you stay,
back a little bit.
Or you stay in the wheelchair.
So people know what we're talking about. Yeah. I was considering making a game for a while, and... Joe apparently has developed his own storyline for the game.
Well, we talked about collaborating story and design and stuff like that.
Right, but you never talked about the orbs or anything like that, and it's just funny to hear you to talk about it, and I'm thinking back to what was my original idea for the game, and it's just funny to think about, like, the evolution of it. Like, there's only... if the game ever came to be, there'd only be one game, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But
so why don't you... Tell us about your original concept.
Yeah, my original premise for the game was essentially to create, like, a Bit Trip Runner, but... obviously for Xbox at the time when there wasn't one. Well, obviously a lot of copies. But the idea would be mainly, instead of manipulating the character, you'd manipulate physics. So you're a god who's essentially helping Andrew along, who's a retard, not in a wheelchair at the time, who has the ability to run very well. Kind of like Forrest, I guess you'd say. Forrest Gump.
Okay. Nice. Simple-minded.
Simple-minded. And, yeah, he would, you know, like, maybe in the beginning, it's simple. He's in the schoolyard, bullies are beating him up, and he has to run to get away. And you're like, as he jumps over a gap and he's gonna fall, you change gravity so he doesn't fall, or you maybe change air density so he can move farther, or different things of physics that basically it feels different than Bit Trip in the sense that the controls are different and you're doing different things. Like, it's not like I said, you're not controlling the character directly.
The environment will move up and down based on jumping instead of him moving
potentially
up and down?
Potentially. The idea was law of physics, but I needed to come up with enough controls to make the game, like,
So, like, if he needs to jump over a pit, but there's a wall, like, and he's got to go, he's got to make a low and long jump, you'd make gravity high and air density low.
Right. You gotta, like, thread him through to a certain extent. You know what
so,
I mean?
If he needs to get super high, you want air density to be high so he can, so he goes straight up and not long. He goes a short jump, but high, you want gravity low, air density high.
So, would this be controlled with.
And how other ones where you could kill momentum and he would stop and drop straight down and then
would that be joysticks?
I said joysticks.
I was thinking, essentially, you had levels of gravity and you would hold a button down, like, hold B down, mm-hmm. and then you'd see B lit up on the screen. There was like an overlay of four buttons you could press, and then you could hit up and down on the analog stick, and it would you'd see the bar go up and down. And then you could hold X, and then you could go up and down, and that would change the or left and right, and that would change the air density. Or you could hold the button and use the triggers and jump to either end. So if you held two buttons down at once and click the trigger, I know it sounds really complicated.
That could be
right?
so complicated,
right? But you build the character up, right? The point was, though, to have very different controls than BitTrip, because in the end, if the controls are identical to BitTrip, then it just feels just like BitTrip.
And it's a copy.
Yeah, I wanted the feel to be different, and I wanted to, like, knock
the
character.
See, I disagree with you, James.
And it had a storyline, too.
I think the joysticks is a cool idea.
I was saying like, joysticks left and right would be air
otherwise,
density.
It's just a BitTrip repeat. That was my thing.
I don't know, though. Like, you're running left to right, so air density would be right toggle. You're pushing towards the right, that'd be less air density. Towards left would be more air density.
That was exactly it. That was exactly
and
it.
And then... Yeah, but no buttons. And then gravity is left toggle.
Oh, I see.
And you're going up and down. So you hold down, so the gravity is increased.
Up and down and left
you
and
hold,
right.
You hold up, the gravity is decreased.
So that could work well, too. Working. My idea was to press the button and then hit the toggle stick.
You made either or could work. Create the hardest game ever made.
I wanted it to be. True. I wanted it to build you up, and then like by the time you got maybe a quarter through the game, it was extremely difficult, and then just keep getting harder. Like, truly... A lot of I know.
So you wanted one of like so the cool. like nostalgic.
I wanted it for like super nerds. Yeah,
super nerds.
I didn't want it, not everyone should beat it. You know what I mean? Like,
so what's your excuse?
What's my excuse?
Yeah, why is
a
life?
Lack
what?
Of motivation.
Life.
It's like it's still there in my mind. Like I want to get back to it, but firstly, obviously Xbox is like is going to go the existing 360 is going to go away, and I don't know how the arcade is going to carry over. I got excited again when we heard about Ouya, even though I have no idea what's going to happen with that, just because
I heard it crashed and burned.
Did it?
Yeah. It hasn't even come out yet.
I still have a pre-order.
I'm pretty sure it's out.
Oh, no, June was June. Expected date.
Oh, really?
And I think it's still June.
But they're saying right now it's terrible.
Is it?
Isn't
like,
it just...
Like the UI is very simple, there's no games on it.
It's essentially an Android with toggles. So it's like a touchscreen
right,
interface.
It's a
with
small
toggles.
Platform built around Android,
so it's an
essentially.
Angry Birds?
It's going, no, it's, cheap it's going to get amazing, I'm sure. Like, it's going to be filled with indie games.
Fuck, cool they can't even make games for the Wii U. Why would they make Ouya games?
It's $5. Just put it on there and see what happens.
How much is the console?
$100.
It's cheap.
And $50 for the controller, which looks like a PS4 controller.
You have to buy the controller separately?
No, it comes with one controller for $100, which is fucking crazy. And it's a fucking cube. Like, a 2x2x2 cube.
Okay.
And it's $100. And it's a quad
two
core.
2x2x... That's...
It's like this...
I don't.
I know you can't see it on the podcast.
I have monster hands. What am I supposed to do with
that's
that?
That's not the controller. That's the console.
And you click it in.
The console's a
Yeah, it's the console.
And the console is a, like a PS4.
Mustard hands?
Yeah, I noticed mustard. That. I saw the Ouya controller.
I have mustard hands.
I got mustard on my hands. How am I going to handle the Ouya?
Mustard man.
I saw the Ouya controller, and then I saw the PS4 controller. I'm like, who copied who? Because they look identical.
Oh.
I'm probably wrong. When they come out, it'll be wildly different, but.
All I've heard is it doesn't have a giant manufacturing budget behind it. Like I heard it feels like Fisher Price.
It was Kickstarter, correct?
Yeah.
So that's like, and somebody else I read like a blog. It was saying, oh, it's just like this console, which is something I never heard of. That was like a we're gonna make it for cheap and we're gonna do it independently and we're gonna sell it and it failed, right?
Yeah.
So that like lack of backing, I guess.
there's so much stuff that comes out these days. That if once it's announced, it doesn't come out almost immediately afterwards, it loses interest. Because there's just so much. We've got three separate consoles with.
I feel like the people behind
so many
it just need to build it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but nobody cares. Like,
I don't know.
Like, Ouya probably came out like at the announcement for it, and everyone was interested, right? Months ago, like a year ago.
Awesome.
And everyone's like, sweet, this is going to be awesome. And then, you know, a month goes by and no one hears anything. It's already forgotten because there's so much other stuff that's going to take your mind off of
but
it.
But think about this. If Ouya was actually to come out in June and it was $100,
yeah, but
would you buy it? And there's like there's one good game that you were excited about.
I haven't heard anything. There's no hype. There's
no nothing. No, but say there was just somebody, Ouya came out and somebody made one game. That's all it takes. Like, I just,
that's true.
I think for the price and for the power, yeah.
I'm not going to spend $100. No way I'm going to spend $100 for, like, a pick-up and play game. I'm going to spend $100 for something that's going to pull me in and captivate me.
It's tough for, like, a new console. It's a new platform.
And
completely
is it
new.
Is it iPhone games?
It's based on Android.
Okay, well, Android has some good games, but I'm not going to be playing fucking Stickman Golf on my TV.
No, but I think the idea would be to, like, you can have a higher level of games because it's, like, considered to be a console, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got a quad core. It's more graphic-oriented, right? Yeah, it has a controller, right?
But the thing is, like, a lot of people do think that it's just, I'm just going to be able to play my Angry Birds on TV now.
I disagree. I don't think anybody who's interested in playing Angry Birds.
I think that.
Well, what I'm saying is like, for anybody who's interested in the console, they're not looking for, you know, playing mobile games on their TV. I really think it's more like the development community, like the indie community, who is looking just for an outlet to post games for free, and see what happens. It's almost like the App Store. You know, none of these people are looking for, like, the next big thing, but if their $1 game sells a million copies, then they could make some money. They could start a game development company out of it. And it's like, that promise is the reason that this thing exists.
Indie developers already have enough platforms. They've got phones, which is
Steam
massive.
Is crazy. Like Steam.
Computers, Steam, Xbox, PlayStation.
Well,
and it's
all going to
grow.
Is this thing open source right out of the box?
Yeah.
Because you do need development tools, and development tools are not $100. They're $3,000 or $4,000.
Well,
they're given away.
Xbox Arcade is actually $100 a year.
Yeah,
surprisingly.
They're given away. They're nothing. They actually want you to build things for them because they are
Xbox
going to make
Xbox Arcade's $100.
Yeah, $100 a year.
But you have to build something that's good enough for people to catch
but
interest
anything,
on.
Anything
and how hard is that
on,
to do?
Like,
this day?
Indie games, pretty much, right?
Pardon?
Like, if you make an indie game on, like, the indie store on Xbox, you can just put it on, right? Like, there's no cost to post it. Like,
you have to pay $100 a year just to publish, like, to get a license to develop and publish games.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, you can make 6 games in a year for $100. And I don't think there's any publishing costs.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. But no one's going to catch.
Yeah,
honestly,
there's so many indie games on.
Yeah, $100 is fine. $100 keeps, like, the idiots out, right? Who aren't very serious.
It's free.
From what I hear, Nintendo's after that same market. Like, they're just attacking people. They're giving away free
dev kits, right?
Free dev kits to third parties.
Just take them,
and
learn how to use it, and build something. Please.
Yeah, I hear there's, like, a lot of increased, you know, invitation to indie developers to try and figure something out for the eShop or whatever. So it's going to be tough for Ouya. I mean, we know about it, and we're the minority here. Like, we're the ones who are interested in that kind of shit.
I know about it. I honestly don't even know what the hell it is.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. You know what? I looked up developer documentation. It is horrible.
Really? Like, yeah, really.
You need really good documentation up front to get you started, and then from there it becomes like, okay, I know what I'm doing because this translates from what I know from other languages, programming languages and whatnot. I can't get started. There's such shitty documentation.
Really?
That may be, like, one huge thing against it, yeah. That actually kind of deterred me. I spent a few days on it, and I couldn't get it going.
It's
going
to fail.
It might.
There's not enough people talking about it.
Yeah, like, if there's a lot of people developing for it, they would have more blog posts and more shit that I could find.
Like, look at this game being made for it.
Yeah.
If it's not front page on, like, Joystick and IGN and every other...
It usually is, but it doesn't matter.
I haven't heard anything.
Like, just the next Xbox rumors are... They're taking the forefront, I'm pretty sure.
Well, think about Antichamber. Like, that game... Like, if a game has got to my ears, then it's worked very hard to get there, right? And
well,
only one of us.
You look at IGN.
It's just the opposite, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what does it take for a game to get to IGN?
It has to be good.
Yeah, it's got to be quite a bit.
Not necessarily. IGN talks about rumors and shit too. Which
well,
is...
like good games that come out, they're talked about by websites.
What about the people who don't go to IGN?
Yeah, so I'm talking about they might not know about anything that you develop for Ouya.
And they don't.
They don't know about Antichamber.
So we got a couple community things about games we can discuss real quick.
Lucky. 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 Luc
might have bag end.
I told Fauna we'd talk about the state of LucasArts briefly.
You guys are going to have to touch on
that. We chatted about that.
I don't know what happened.
Well, I mean,
all I've seen is that LucasArts is gone?
I think...
Star Wars is essentially, like, in a blackout. All Star Wars is in blackout form right now.
When you guys talked about this, I was like, I don't believe this is true.
They're not making anything. LucasArts is closed.
That's hard to believe.
They closed Clone Wars, right? Done?
Clone Wars is canceled. LucasArts is closed. they had another TV show that was on the ring, and they that's canceled. It is flatlined.
So it's 100% is that just focused bad for business?
No. They're trying to build a drought. I think they're trying to create a drought.
That's when it... Yeah, I was gonna say Nintendo, but that's what Disney does, right? They put their game or their movies in vaults, for well their vault so to speak, and then 20 years later
that's just a marketing term.
I know, but that's what they're gonna
put under the vault.
But that's what they're gonna do. Why wouldn't they do that with Star Wars? Build the hype, and as soon as the next Star Wars comes out, there's been no Star Wars for anyone for so long. As soon as something comes out, holy shit, well, Star Wars!
Yeah, yes. But you gotta imagine the sales of 1,000 different books and movies and games coming out. Exceeds one movie coming out after 5 years of nothing.
Maybe not.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Maybe not, but
maybe here's, not. Here's the thing. Like, it might blow. Like,
no, the people that are sales. The people that are buying the books are going to see the movie no matter fucking what.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. So, they
but still, five books.
They're gonna be like, oh, new movie's coming out. Maybe I got all the books. 5 years
of books and games are heightened. I don't know. Like,
yeah. Don't downplay the significance of Episode 7 for a second.
Yeah, it's going to be the biggest movie of all time.
But what I think is happening is now Disney's a you know, they're a viable and very very efficient company, and essentially there's all sorts of products out there sprawling all over the market that Disney now owns that they didn't create. So now they're being held accountable for any of the flaws that are in those products, i.e. LucasArts, which are full of them. And we all know this.
Yeah, LucasArts hasn't made a game and
yeah, Clone Wars was great, but it had its flaws. And maybe Disney is not accepting the fact that they're going to be associated with those flaws. Also, they've got a new product that's coming out, and they don't want to draw attention away from that. If we get two more seasons of Clone Wars and LucasArts games that are lackluster, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere there's a new Star Wars movie, Star Wars is shit, and everything that has come out of Star Wars for the past 2 years is shit. And sure. I'm not going to see those new movies. Disney is smart to create this drought.
Yeah,
they're smart to start fresh. That's really
good. It's really a long-term strategy, right? Yeah, like reputation.
They have the most viable franchise in our lifetime. I mean, how do you go after that and not comb over everything with a fine-tooth comb and be very, very, like, careful?
Although,
what has LucasArts done in the last 2 years?
An expansion just came out for The Old Republic.
The Old Republic is
still
very interesting.
And they're still going to be building on that game.
Yeah. What BioWare has pulled off is something that's very, very cool. And I like that's being nurtured. The whole Old Republic thing, they are so smart to create a continuity outside of anything that's connected to the Star Wars universe, and as far as movies. Most of the books are not in the Old Republic era.
Fucking BioWare.
They're smart, man. And I wish the best of them. I'm sure that the Old Republic is going to survive as like a separate continuity almost.
Yeah.
But also, like, in the same time, you've got this opportunity to essentially start marketing for your new movies. Like, Clone Wars was canceled, but they're going to come out with a new show. There's a new animated show. Why not tie it into the future movies and build that kind of awareness for what they're about to delve into?
Yeah.
I'm a Star Wars fan, and I like and I appreciate that it's in the hands of somebody who is going to take care of it, almost in the same way that the Marvel Universe has been nurtured.
Mm.
And, I mean, Marvel, they were able to get away with it because every couple of years, there's a new continuity with these superheroes. So they can pick up from day one and, you know, start fresh and say, like, well, this is the film universe, and we're going to go off. And it won't alienate fans. It won't piss people off that they're messing with the universe because it happens every couple of years. Star Wars, it's very, they have to tread lightly. So why not just put a stop to it? Give us our drought and show us what you're made of. Like, they've got J.J. Abrams and Michael Arndt, and they've got a lot of people from Lucasfilm and LucasArts Industrial Light and Magic.
No one's doubting the success of this movie at all.
But it's more than the movie, right? It's the games and the books.
They can still have that other stuff, the other moneymakers.
Well, we've never been. No, Joe makes a good point, though. Imagine you stop for like a year and then you start making it again. That, like, disconnect is Disney moving forward, right?
Yeah.
And it's well known. And then when they
announce, like, 1313 is coming out.
Your one redeeming point is I know you really enjoy Clone Wars and you think it's incredible, but I think the general public probably thinks, eh, right?
Yeah.
Meh. So, the drought is just going to build hype. It's just going to be, like, it's all a hype machine, and I would never, ever question what Disney does.
I like Star Wars. I would never watch the Clone Wars.
Exactly my point. So, if they're releasing all that shit, all the Clone Wars, and then the movie comes out, I think it's just going to be, oh, there's more Star Wars. But if there's nothing for a long time, it's hype building. Hype is the biggest selling.
It gives them an opportunity to break ground. Like,
imagine the new teaser trailers.
That's my point. Like, look at Star Trek. Like, Star Trek, the first one came out, and it, in my opinion, like, changed the way Star Trek has ever been looked at.
1313 would suck ass anyways.
And that game never existed in the first place.
Yeah, it was a fucking tech demo.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about Star Trek.
What else was coming out?
Star Trek came out, except for Trekkies.
Yeah, there was Star Wars Connect, there was Star Wars Angry Birds.
They were making Lego Clone Wars, too.
Yeah, Lego Clone Wars. And there was an Xbox Live game, an Xbox Live first-person shooter. Xbox Live first-person
shooter. Did you see the videos for that? It was terrible!
I know, and it almost ruined our dream. And we are closer to
Be Battlefield.
We are closer to the Star Wars Battlefield dream than we've ever been.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that. Because
they could easily license the Star Wars material out to EA, and they could build it on the Frostbite engine.
I was actually meaning to say this to you.
Like, the engineer class and stuff like that in that
about it.
No, it's exactly what Battlefield was.
Imagine a new Battlefield.
They locked onto the AT-AT, and it was just beep, 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 beep. It's like, that's Battlefield. They just stole that right from Battlefield.
Imagine Battlefront 3, next gen, not just better graphics.
On the Frostbite 3 engine.
Made by DICE.
Made by DICE. Sure, made by DICE, or at least someone.
Made by DICE.
But taken seriously, not, like, I always felt like
they should just scrap Battlefield 4.
Or Star Wars Racer, built by Criterion.
I've always looked at LucasArts games are, they're not AAA games. And the money hasn't been there, the effort hasn't been there.
They've tried.
They haven't.
Force Unleashed,
okay,
the first one,
was an attempt.
Had a good story.
Yeah, sure. And that's
the game,
fine.
The game was...
And it probably took the world for them to pull that off.
Oh, yeah. So, let's put it this way. You have this big, big drought. And then Episode 7 comes out, and you know it's going to be huge. It's going to be one of the best-selling movies ever. I'm really hoping, and I'm sure it will be. But when you have all that hype come out, then you have the money, you have the interest of the public to build a AAA game with, you know, the 500 employees... 5 years, 500 employees.
Yeah, no one's happy that all those people are losing their jobs.
I don't think they really are.
It's a free enterprise, man, and they're not the best, and that's what you've got to be to survive.
Dan, I'm going to challenge your notion. When you create a game that's based on a movie, it cheapens the game, does it not?
What do you mean?
This game was only made because there was a movie. We're building off the hype of the movie.
Well, that's a game based on a movie. This is a game based on a franchise.
On a franchise. Star Wars has been around for 30, 40 years.
But if you're releasing it in tandem with a movie, like if it's named similarly or it's just after the storyline or just before the storyline, it came out based on the hype of that movie. It's just like filler. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but we're closer to a Blizzard-developed Star Wars RTS.
Oh.
Hey, listen, I agree with you. Something amazing could easily come out in the Star Wars universe game-wise. I'm just saying, if you link it to the movie, it actually cheapens it to a certain extent. So you have to be careful of that too, right? Like, as people who develop these games, they have to realize that if you make it, like, Walking Dead, right? Walking Dead, like, I just feel like they just threw that out there just because, oh, we got this thing that's popular, people are going to buy this shit because it's got a name, right?
That
so you have
is
to be
true.
Careful. It cheapens it to a certain extent. You almost have to release it, like, before or afterwards with a certain amount of time in order to, like, distinguish it as its own. Like, we didn't release this just based on hype.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to tie into the new movie. I mean...
Timing has to work out. You're right. The tie doesn't have to be there, but
I mean,
the perception in people's minds has
to
be
something
that it's
based on. It could be something based on, like, Return of the Jedi timeline, but it's a new game that's going to lead you in a little bit, like, remind you of how great that universe is. And it's like, what's going to happen after this? And then the movie's coming out, things like that. I mean, they've got a lot of work ahead of them.
I just feel like
they're like they need to make sure it's in the right hands, and right now it's not.
I have no comment on that, realistically. I'm just saying, timing-wise, if you release it close, it could actually be to the detriment of the game, the fact that it's so close. So you have
we'll see how it works out.
Yeah.
Like your Walking Dead example, that shitty game.
Or like there's a show called Defiance coming out. They have a video game. I have no idea how good that's going to be.
I heard that both of those are pretty cool.
Defiance looks cool because it's like a massive multiplayer online.
But here's the thing. Like you have Walking Dead that's super popular right now. It's like one of the biggest shows on TV. Everybody's always talking about it. Everybody's watching it. But they put out a game that took, what, 6 months to make? A year to make?
Well, they prolonged the launch 3 months. So probably.
So what they need to be doing right now is all the people who are writing the movie then somehow be, like, intertwined with the people making the game and start the game now. Storyboarding now. Everything needs to be starting now. So when it does come out, you have something that's been worked on for a long time.
You know what? Walking Dead is an example because it's probably a bad game to begin with, right?
The movie could be...
I was not that excited about Walking Dead knowing that they're probably playing off the movie. Like, I felt like I knew it was going to be a shitty game. It was even shittier than I expected.
That's unbelievable. There's never been, like, a good game that's been based on a movie or a
exactly.
TV show.
That's
I don't
my
know,
point.
I don't get why. Like, you have a great story that people are interested in.
Because they just throw a few dollars extra.
KOTOR.
Besides KOTOR, which had a great... Besides
Rogue
the story.
Leader. But what was KOTOR released in relation to movies?
What is Rogue Leader? Is that the...
Rogue Squadron.
The
was it well after?
Flying one?
I think it was...
The six, or...
That
was I don't know.
Was it in between?
I think it may have been after Revenge of the Sith. Maybe... No, it was before...
What is this?
It was before Attack of the
Clones. When was
KOTOR
released in relation to the movies?
That's interesting.
I think it was before Attack of the
Clones.
Like
I said, if you tie a video game to a movie, it cheapens it.
But here's what we could be ahead of. Or here's what we could be getting, right? Like, you've got the new movies, and there's, like, a new Jedi Alliance. And the game is, like, Jedi Starfighter. And it's just an awesome fucking game where it introduces you to the same planets.
Jedi Starfighter was great. The Rogue Squadron games were amazing.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, it doesn't have to be connected to the storyline of the movie.
They're probably
but it's
so
in the
terrible,
new universe.
But...
Right, I'm just saying the perception out there today is if it's near the same time, it's probably trying to build off the hype. That's the perception.
Any game
someone
with...
could do it differently and actually be like, listen, our vision is to create a game of the AAA highest caliber title, like, you know what I mean? And a movie also of the highest caliber, like, in tandem. Like, it's not... They could break the mold in that regard. I'm just saying, in my mind, and I would think that in your minds as well, when a game comes out where the movie came first... It's probably a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
That's interesting.
It's just like... Again, I call it filler, for lack of a better word.
You never play as any character from the films. You're always fucking Dash Rendar or somebody who's like Han Solo or like Luke Skywalker or...
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I've always hated that.
Episode 2 came out May 16th, 2002. And
KOTOR came out right after that, right?
Came out July 15th, 2003. So a year after episode 2.
There you go.
Nice.
Which is later than I thought, actually.
So it was before
Revenge.
Well,
that's the thing. I mean, like, BioWare has pulled off, like, that was a good idea. What, like, I don't know how much of that is LucasArts saying, like, we need you to set your game this far ahead, and then BioWare took advantage of it. But that was a great idea. Yeah. Setting it so far in the past that, like, it has the same, you know...
What else came out at the
concepts?
Same time, though? There was an MMO or something.
Galaxies?
Star Wars Galaxies came out the same time as KOTOR. That's a flood of bullshit.
Was it brutal?
Star Wars Galaxies was really good, but it was, like, super hardcore to the point where it alienated like, the regular
fan. It took, like, 400 hours to become a Jedi.
Yeah, and then, like, once the devout people played 400 hours worth and they were able to, like, use a lightsaber, finally, they... recamped on the entire play structure. No, they doubled back on everything, and you could just pick to be a Jedi right away.
And so everyone, like, who played that
so
long, get
anybody new could be a Jedi just like you were, even though you played for 400 hours.
Are you exaggerating? 400 hours?
It took many, many, many hours. Dan and Gotti played it, and he was he was in like a band that played in a cantina. That was his character. He was like a saxophone player.
Yeah, but
because it took so fucking long to become a Jedi, he's like, I'll just play music.
Wow.
At a bar. And that was his life in that game.
Star Wars Second Life.
Star Wars so Second that life. Game was huge, and it just kind of broke because of the scale.
Yeah, that's terrible scaling. To make someone work so hard to achieve something, and
it
then
could
just
have been epic.
Why are we not playing Old Republic?
I tried to install it. It doesn't run on this piece of shit. I can barely fucking record episodes of the podcast.
The records have been delayed.
I don't know why I'm not playing Old Republic. I tried. I downloaded the free play version. And
here's a voice of
now we're ready to talk about The Hobbit.
No!
I gotta keep my scam incoming.
I'm not talking about The Hobbit again. I refuse to do it.
Hey, TJ said it was okay. It was still a good movie.
I don't have a lot to say about it other than it had a lot of hype, obviously. Yeah. A lot of expectation. And I don't know if it lived up to it or not. Just, it was very good. Like, it was a good movie. It was definitely worth the watch.
To me, I have the same feeling that I did with Fellowship when it first came out.
Lucky you.
Once I owned it, it was like, I just want to watch this again. I want to have it on. I had that same, like, just put it on in the background while I'm doing something.
You love when they throw the plates around and stuff?
Yeah. The Hobbit's always on.
That's really cool to you. That song was really good.
Yeah, they sing it in the book.
But it made you feel really, really good about yourself?
Yeah, it was funny.
Fuck you, okay? No. There's no way that you enjoyed that as much
watch,
as you...
Watch the production diaries. It's like it's 2 hours. Like, the entire playlist of production diaries
get
is 2 hours.
Get me really high so I can't break concentration
and
I will
great.
Watch it. No.
Watching everybody behind the scenes, it's like, this movie deserves to be really good.
That movie was called...
Ghibli and Beebly and Bobbly and Bobbly and Ghibli and Bobbly and Ghibli and Bojibli. Fuck you, that movie sucks.
They're not going to change the names, right?
Wait.
You're welcome.
Double rip.
You just talked about how you were fucking like monumenting yourself on this. Oh, I don't talk about it's gay or anything.
Okay, fine.
It's awesome.
Ghibli quote. And Bibli and fuck you. It sucks.
I've already been over this before. What I liked about Lord of the Rings was when it was kind of creepy. Like the.
Yeah.
The Uruk-hai were creepy creatures, and they were real, and it wasn't CG, and it wasn't a joke. And The Hobbit was a fucking joke. The entire movie was a joke. Look at the...
I love the trolls.
Look at the Goblin King. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Did you see the Goblin King I seen at Zara's?
Yeah, it's exactly her. And it... Him. What?
Herm.
Herm is better. Ugh. I just didn't care for the movie myself. I can't... I don't want to get into it again. I've been over it. It just wasn't for me. That bird shit wizard was enough. As soon as I saw it, nope. Bird shit's on your face all day and you're a wizard? Well, cool. I'm done. I don't want to leave.
I'm done.
What'd you think, TJ?
I don't know. I liked it. It was a good movie. I just,
Did you, like, love the bird shit wizard? Did you think he was so funny?
No opinion. I don't know.
I'm not going to chirp you guys. If you like it, you like it. It just wasn't for me. And That's it.
You know what? Like, if it was just a movie that came out and had no idea about it, it would have been an awesome movie.
No, I just didn't care for it. If you liked it, you liked it. I like movies that you guys hate.
You just tease it for the past 10 minutes that we've been talking about it, and you say, I don't want to chirp you.
I'm just being an idiot.
I don't have anything else to say.
I kind of like where Dan's at here, though.
I'm just leaving it alone. It wasn't for me. I know that I joke about it and I tease it.
Would you say you had an expectation of it based on Lord of the Rings?
Yes, because Lord of the Rings had more of a serious tone.
Yeah, yeah.
A much more serious tone where there's deaths and like, in Fellowship when, what's his name?
Boromir.
Boromir gets hit with the arrows and stuff. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
That was sad.
That was amazing.
That was heartbreaking. Yeah. And there's nothing like that in this movie, and there never will be with that fucking...
Okay, but say it was never meant to be that, and you weren't supposed to have that expectation.
Then it's a kid's movie. It's still a kid's movie.
And that's
it's
not true.
No, it's too lighthearted. It's too slapstick.
Yeah, but there's kids' movies that you like, right?
Okay, well, if that movie wasn't connected in any way to the Lord of the Rings movies, then I would put it in the same category as, like...
The storyline could be connected, but the tone doesn't
have to be connected. No, but I'm talking, like, if it wasn't, right? If the storyline wasn't...
If it was not the Lord of the Rings...
There was no redeeming quality in that movie? Even, like, the Bilbo and Gollum scene?
The fact that it made me think about that.
That was the one scene that I said I did enjoy. Like, I thought that was witty. I thought it was funny. Like, Gollum's got some solid lines, and then they go back and forth, and it's smart. It's good writing. That was the only redeeming quality of that whole movie for me, and I said that originally. It was the only thing that I liked. The rest of it was rubbish.
If it wasn't connected to Lord of the Rings movies or the books, obviously, you know, I would compare it more to just a, you know, Snow White or whatever, the Snow White and the Huntsman and fucking
and I wouldn't Narnia watch it.
And the Golden Compass.
It would have been best in class.
Okay,
of fine. That class.
Okay, yeah. Fine, but those yeah, are but still. I'm not going to watch a Dr. Seuss movie and say that it's the best kids movie. It's still not for me. What's not for you is not for you. Bottom line. It's just not for me. I'd rather see explosions. And as much as people tease those...
I don't think it was as kid as you think.
Michael Bay movies, people tease the shit out of them, but I think I'm always enjoying
it. Yeah, Thorin's chopping heads left and right.
Yeah.
Not really.
CGI heads.
CGI heads.
Real heads.
I don't know. Like, in Lord of the Rings, the goblins were creepy, were they not? Like, there's the one actor who's, like, going to rip their meat from their bones. And it's just...
Yeah.
It's creepy. He's like got like this black tar dripping from his chin, and he's like, "That looks fucking."
They're still actors. They're still acting. They're not CG animated. But it looks fake. They're guys like.
But it looks fake.
I don't think it looks fake.
That. I don't think they are.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Watch the production diaries. I'm telling you, watch the fucking.
Okay.
Production
how about
diaries.
when they're in the caves? They're in like the
a couple of
underneath
guys.
Underground, and they're running across all those bridges. It seems like a joke. It's almost like a Looney Tunes thing where they're all like.
Oh, that was... They animated that afterwards.
Yeah, it was lame.
Well, let's compare to this, right? Like, I'm watching Lord of the Rings movie, and I can
they did
very
that in Lord
closely...
of the Rings, too.
Hold on.
Well,
sorry,
there were some of the
Hobbit.
Parts of the Lord of the Rings that didn't...
I'm watching The Hobbit. I'm watching, you know, and I can very closely compare it to scenes of, like, Jedi chopping up fucking Geonosians. You know, where there's CGI creatures, like, they're just... Well, come on. Okay, I'm just talking about...
This X is Gandalf.
What the fuck do you think they were doing in The Hobbit? CGI characters that
saying.
They're swinging things... Okay,
even,
so you're agreeing.
Even Star Wars, too.
I'm
like,
sorry.
Prick.
Like, I'm not just knocking your thing. Like,
no, like, I mean, any CGI enemy, even in The Avengers, we all love that movie. It was a great ride. But I was never afraid of the fucking CGI aliens that were running around.
Yeah.
It does provide that disconnect that Lord of the Rings didn't have. Lord of the Rings, you felt the weight of each step of the army, you know, like coming at you, and it was scary.
Yeah.
Or even, like, even...
Even though most of that was CG as well.
Well, I mean, but the main orcs were guys in suits. I mean, if you, like, Fellowship is the prime example of where they peaked with those movies, and that was all actual actors in makeup. You know, like, the larger scale battles in the later movies,
the cave troll
obviously...
was still scary.
The cave troll was a little bit scarier, but the cave troll didn't talk fucking broken Irish
and
have a tongue twister.
Oh my god, I completely forgot about that scene. Are you
And
are
he didn't
kidding?
Sneeze out and say, oh, I got one. You know, like...
I loved that.
I'm sure he did. I mean,
because, did you find it, like, funny and fun?
Yeah. Okay, that was cute and fucking happy, and I loved watching it.
All right, that's what you got out of it. But, it, like, even the same thing when it comes to Star Wars, when Anakin goes and he has to... like kill all the young Jedi. When that scene happens, it didn't leave any like it didn't leave me with any bad feeling, you know what I mean? It's like it doesn't show anything, it doesn't do anything for you. It's just you know that it happens, but you're not left with this emotion because it doesn't show anything and it's just cut. And with The Hobbit, when serious things happen and it's taken as a joke, then I don't take it seriously. And when it comes to, like, Star Wars and they don't show anything, I don't take it seriously because they don't show it. And I know that it's not for me. It's for kids. And if it showed Anakin killing kids, then it wouldn't be for children anymore. And it's just disgusting.
Mm.
Let's take this in a new direction. They have two other movies, correct?
What?
Those movies?
The Hobbit?
The Hobbit, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen them yet, so
Right.
Who knows? They may be
they're
better.
They're probably going to get darker and more serious.
Well, if they do,
this is their opportunity to...
Don't get me wrong, I'm going to see them. Like, I have to see them.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the other movies are going to be more satisfying to you. Like, there's a battle coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's going to be...
There's the Battle of Four Armies? Three Armies?
Yeah, I forget. I read the book like long ago for school, but it's going to get serious. Like a lot of series do that when they have multiple movies. Like,
and
like
a lot of Batman, people die. Like,
they get darker and darker. You
it's
know what I mean?
So much that I'm this dark, bitter person who wants to see death.
No. But it's gonna retract from that cartoony kids element, and it's gonna get like to a place where you want it to be, and you're maybe gonna appreciate the first movie more, probably once those other movies come out.
Maybe that's the one thing that I do like about like Fellowship. The first hour for the extended anyway is fun, and it's heartwarming, and it seems it's a wonderful introduction to a world that I've never known.
Right,
and that's what I appreciate.
The whole movie,
about it.
The Hobbit could be that,
but The Hobbit was just too lighthearted.
Mm. That's also the thing, though. I mean, like, if you're going after the movie fan, then we have already been introduced to this world and how it works.
Yeah.
And then they completely...
It's irrelevant. It's almost redundant for us to, you know, like, splitting...
There's a whole set of new characters, though. They gotta hit the reset button.
Yeah, but splitting one book into three acts and then splitting those three acts into, like extended, like, overdrawn... You know, like, I didn't need to be introduced to Hobbiton again.
Yeah, you did.
No.
Yeah, but were you?
It wasn't even.
I
20 minutes of that movie is the same thing as like us waiting to get to my even the
dear
fact.
Frodo.
But even the fact where even the part where Bilbo's young, I spent 20 minutes waiting for that. I think it's just
it's a more
difficult thing to pull off, and it kept me wanting. I'm saying
the first thing that
but
I
you're a fan of it. Why would you not want to see that?
I don't know.
That I didn't even have a problem with. I honestly didn't. The first part that I hated about the movie was when they all, one by one, are showing up at his house.
That'll be the door.
Yeah, but that all led up to, like, the song and that serious tone that they had.
You like that song? Was bullshit, though. I mean, like, they
Far
they,
over.
No, I thought that
was... I know it's
the
in the guys book.
Throwing
and
the
they're, like, rise and fall of, like, serious...
There's source joking. Material, and they can only go as far from that, you know, as...
That was
as
crazy.
The book
hold on, hold on. The guys... I know the... There's different beats that repeat in Fellowship and The Hobbit, right? As the first act. But... It never recreated the weight or the
Fellowship is the better film, obviously.
Yeah, what's the word I'm looking for? God damn it.
Gravity?
Yeah, Gravity the tone.
Oh, that's another one. Gravity or the, you have to do it quick.
Sense of urgency?
Urgency.
Yes, urgency.
Yeah, it never recreated.
Chikabala!
It never recreates the sense of urgency. Like, it worked very hard to hit the same beats that Fellowship did, and it missed on every mark. Every mark. And then, I mean, like, if you're looking at it that way, and you start to look at it critically...
It can't be a Fellowship remake, right? Like, you don't want it to be identical.
But you can't
First of all, it isn't, because it's not what it's about. It's about going on an adventure, and, like, there's not even a... Like, what are they even working towards? You don't even know, right? But
yeah, Frodo wasn't reluctant to go on the journey. Or
yeah, but okay, well, Fellowship
what
works.
What must I do?
Fellowship works as a first act because it's a full story. It's almost three acts within the first act, right? Like, it's a beginning, middle, and end in that first act. Whereas The Hobbit was written as one full piece of literature, and, like, the weight and the gravity,
and they have to break it
I haven't seen yet. I haven't seen yet because they decided they wanted to make three... They wanted to break the book up into three parts, where the first act is supposed to be that first half an hour that you spend in Hobbiton, and then then the gravity increases and the urgency increases, and you meet the dragon, and like, I don't know,
oh my god, the dragon!
It doesn't exist in the first movie.
It's probably
I agree
are we judging
with that.
The movie or the promise of or its connection to the other material. The
if
movie as a standalone
movie,
is if
I love
falls
the
flat.
Movie.
You know what?
I love
fantasy
movie,
though,
man.
You're probably not gonna agree to this, but fantasy, I feel like, doesn't have to have so much of a rise and fall as other traditional, like, stories in movies and books and stuff. Fantasy is like, especially when there's, you know, there's more coming. Fantasy books are always bigger than regular books.
They are.
And they have, like, a long storyline that runs from beginning to end.
Yeah. Okay.
And you have to accept that there's less of a rise and fall, and it's more of like a building towards...
I may appreciate The Hobbit a lot more after I've seen the second and third film.
Yeah, I think
might.
You will. I think you will.
But at this point, at this point, after knowing Lord of the Rings for the last decade as what I've known it as, and then to see this was just a huge letdown for me. Just
My fantasy like palette
it didn't fit.
I'm
it
sorry,
didn't
Dan.
Fit into the puzzle that I knew Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And
that's it. My fantasy palette is minimal as it is. You got Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, and possibly a little bit more. Like, let's consider the Hobbit book. Part of that, it's nowhere near the first act of any of those stories.
Game of Thrones, season one.
Out of all the fantasy that I like, it's the worst first act out of all of them, and I deserve or it deserves to feel the fucking hurt. Wow me.
You know what else I found about the Hobbit?
Here we go again. We're very fucking spoiled people.
that we can't overindulge.
I want more.
You know what? When I finished the first book,
we're allowed
Thrones,
to critique.
We're allowed to
I felt like nothing.
We're allowed to put them in order of our favorite to our least
Absolutely.
Favorite.
Absolutely.
And then there's also.
I'm just saying, but we are very fucking spoiled as a movie.
It's like us saying
as good as Hobbit.
We have to hold ourselves to a higher standard as movies progress, right?
Yeah,
agreeably. Like you're not going to compare it against a 1982 flick or something like that.
Yeah,
and to hold this against source material, like source material again, but the Lord of the Rings had likable characters that you actually cared about, like Samwise and Frodo.
They felt diverse and distinct.
And then you go to the Hobbit and you have
essentially 12
different characters. So many of these guys, and they're all just these. They're all these playful jokesters, and they're all the same guy.
One of them was Jekyll, by the way.
Is he?
James Nesbitt. He's got a few lines. He's got a few joke lines.
I'm going to look for it next time. Yeah. I want to rewatch it.
The only famous fucking guy.
I have not rewatched
it. He had, like,
Hobbit,
a brown beard and brown hair. He's got, like, long...
Come around?
The
Irish
long,
guy?
Yeah,
I could see.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
James Nesbitt.
But you know what? Can you agree with me on that fact that, like, there are... You have so many characters in Lord of the Rings that are their own character.
Distinct.
They're very distinct.
Well, yeah, they're different races, right?
Like, they're all different races, Elven, and they all have, like, you don't forget their names. And I don't even fucking know, I couldn't even tell you one
because
name.
Because there's so many people. They're, like,
they're similar. I was worried about that right from the beginning. And
I know that is source material,
really
and
job.
It's not the
And that's why they
fault.
Introduced them slowly, one after another, right in the beginning, right?
That's what Peter Jackson said. He's like, I never wanted to do The Hobbit for the longest time because this was going to be such a nightmare. Just trying to, like, introduce these characters.
Just the fact that he realizes or he notices the flaws or he notices the roadblocks
he goes back to it afterwards and says, like, he's going around, like, Bag End as they're filming. Like, where's everyone going to be sitting? And all the actors are there. He's like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, well, I can understand where he's coming from.
Are they all meant to be looked at as almost one character? Like, they're
that's
just,
how I
they're
saw
just
them.
The group of elves.
You know, I saw them as a swarm of dwarves.
Dwarves, not elves.
I saw them as a swarm, and it was interesting to say how they work together. But I wasn't able to say, like, that's my favorite one, aside from...
Thorin's good, Balin's great.
Balin is the only one that stood out to me.
Was I the only Thorin's one that empty. Thought that the cameos were very lame as well?
Well, they help you. They're
But they're just... I almost feel like they're placed? Tacked on.
Saruman?
Yes, I agree.
I feel like they were just tacked on to be in the Lord of the Rings.
I don't know. I kind of like
Elven
that.
Chick.
I agree.
Yeah.
This is like a Hobbit conversation.
I really love that part.
I like that they tied it in as much as they did, you know, because it kept a grasp on the continuity of the movies. Same and universe. I like that they implemented, like...
But they could have been better.
Okay, well, here's this. The darkness of, the impending war and the power of the One Ring, like, was non-existent in The Hobbit, obviously, because it wasn't written yet. But the fact that they tried to tie it together and, you know, with the implementation of, like, the supplemental material, they did tie in storylines, which tips you off about Saruman and Galadriel's involvement and even Gandalf, like, kind of... seeing, like, foreshadowing what's happening. I kind of liked all that stuff. It helped tie the movies together, and it kept it more connected to the Lord of the Rings movies, which I really liked. So I saw that as a positive. I mean, I didn't think there were any backhand... You can call them that, I mean, for, like, the unaware viewer, but I appreciated them, and that's pretty much all I appreciated, because I was constantly trying to take that material and bring it back to the place that I loved. And upon rewatch... it was just boring, you know. It didn't hit the same emotional moments as that I've gotten used to. I've gotten connected to with the other movies.
Mm.
So I mean, this is upon me watching it. I mean, when I first saw it, I said it was my favorite one because it brought me back to that place in the theater that I wanted to be.
That's exactly how I felt too. Like as it came on, you just see like Bilbo walking through Bag End
right off the bat. Yeah,
I'm in fucking tears right now.
I had a big smile on my face right off the bat, like seeing Hobbiton and just Bilbo young and everything.
It is not as good as The Lord of the Rings, but I still think it's a much better movie than all the fucking drivel and shit that's pushed out of
Witch
the theaters.
Witch King or that fucking what is that? Well, what is that?
Scorpion King?
No. that Nicolas Cage movie, Season of the Witch. Oh, God, obviously, yeah. It's better than that. I mean, we're not comparing it to the worst shit ever.
I'm not saying that. Like, what other good fantasy movies are there? Game of Thrones isn't even that fucking good. Come on, let's be serious.
Game of Thrones is good.
Season two sucked. I had a hard time with.
Season two was terrible.
Season one's awesome.
Season one is amazing, yes. That's the Fellowship.
Two Towers is terrible. I'm just kidding.
Two Towers is really
it's awesome.
Season two of Game of Thrones was... It had its flaws.
Well, season two of Game of Thrones, you're...
I do admit Hobbit does have flaws, too.
Are we opening up
into
a Game of Thrones conversation? Because...
I don't even fucking remember Game of Thrones. I just remember.
So much for a season finale. We're talking about stuff that we talked about at the beginning of the season.
It's a recap.
Yeah. Recap!
We're recapping season one, episode three.
Oh, yeah. Remember all those Legos we bought? We fucking hate them.
I like the Legos. I mean...
I have two.
I wish I never bought them. I wish I never fucking bought them.
I have two that are built, and they're on display in my living room, and I like...
Well, the problem with the Legos is we got interested in Legos as they were becoming on sale.
Yeah.
So it's like... This whole new world.
You find a deal?
Yeah,
you
find deals. And now there's like the new series, and you know, they're all just regular price, and we're not interested.
I don't give a shit. I'll buy all the Hobbit ones when they go on sale.
And it wouldn't run on my laptop.
I love that our season finale has been...
This doesn't have to be a season finale.
It's been Lord of the Rings and Star Wars talk, and Wii U. The same shit we've talked about for two seasons.
Anybody who's held on this long, the reason this is the season finale is because the format is changing. And maybe we can take 5 minutes to talk about this. I'm hoping it opens up less video game centric. We were trying to focus on video games through season two, in order to build our market or build our reach,
our fan base, anyways.
Yeah, and I'm just tired of talking about games.
Well, realistically,
we're talking about real life shit.
Well, so I kind of want this to be what the original vision was, and it's going to be. Because I'm mixing up vision and versions.
Vision.
It's going to be our everyday conversations recorded and broadcast into like our social network.
How does that differ from what it is today?
Well, right now
we're trying to focus on video games.
We've been trying to focus on games, but right now we're in a transition period, right? There's nothing to talk about when it comes to games right now anyway, so how are we supposed to build a product on something that we don't have anything to base it on?
Season one was mostly movies. We talked about movies for an hour, like 40 minutes, and then we got bored. Like when it came time to talk about games, we were all kind of bored. So games took a back seat for all of season one. Yeah,
but you don't have to change. Like if you've been playing games, don't get me wrong, we're still
going to
talk about games.
Yeah, we're still going to talk about what we would actually talk
about. We're still going to be talking about movies. If we've been fucking girls, still talking about fucking girls. Whatever we've been doing is what we're going to be talking about, and I think that is a wonderful thing.
And games and our favorite games and our favorite movies did get a lot of attention tonight. And
they still will.
Yeah,
as soon as the trailer for Desolation of Smog comes out.
Also, the next episode will not be a season two episode. It will be the number episode that we've recorded, and we're gonna move forward doing it that way. No more seasons.
Cool. We're
cutting seasons out.
It doesn't make sense.
Laying down the law.
Yeah.
Chop it.
Thanks. Thanks for hanging on in there.
Yeah, holy shit.
If you've listened to this far.
And,
you've heard many farts.
Again, please, all I want is feedback. Tell me how we can improve. Tell me how you feel. Tell me what you want us to talk about. Gosh. Damn it.
Gosh damn it.
Gee dang it.
What a beaut.
Wow. Thanks again for listening. This is All Range Mode Podcast. We're on Facebook. We're on... emails, and we're also on iTunes, and you can find us at allrangemode.ca.
It's wonderful.
And my name's Joe. To my right, I have Chad.
Yep.
To Chad's right, we have TJ.
Whoop.
To TJ's right, we have Dan.
The man.
And it's usually Doug here.
And
Doug, we miss you, buddy.
And we're missing Doug tonight. He's missed. All Range Mode out. Thanks for listening.
All Range Mode!
watched a couple other movies.
They're shit, so.
They're shit movies.
The Hobbit? Was The Hobbit one of the shit movies you've seen?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, The Hobbit was bad. I don't want to talk right now.
Come on.
Oh, come on.
I don't feel bad about it. I just...